So, even though we are afraid of death, death isn't the end of everything. For us as Christians, this life on earth isn't everything. And therefore, the end of this life on earth is not a period. It's a semicolon, where we end and begin eternal life with God for eternity. Therefore, even though we are all afraid of death, if we know who we belong to, where we are going, that isn't something to be scared of. It's something that we look forward to in hope, trusting in God's divine mercy as well as His providence for us. Here in America, we try to avoid talking about death. It's treated like a stigma or boogeyman that no one's want to talk about. Every time I go to United Regional or nursing home, sometimes people see me coming in my taxes or my clerical. They start looking down, scrolling through their phone, like ignoring me, like I'm the grim reaper that's going to take their souls away or something. You know, priests often treat it like, oh no, sparing bad news, or oh no, he's come to reach souls, right? And then I have shown up to people's house because their family would worry about them. Father, can you please visit this or that person? And I showed up, and then they told me, oh no, I didn't call you. Go home. I'm not dying yet. Go home. I don't need you here. So we're scared of death, and we don't want to talk about it. Why? I believe the answer is we're so occupied with this life, here and now, that we have missed and forgotten of the life to come. We have lost focus on eternity. Death is only less dreadful when we know in our heart of heart the ultimate end goal, where we are going. St. Paul, in the second reading today, reminds us that death is swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he reminds us to remain firm, steadfast, and fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. We are people not of hopelessness. We are people with sure hope, that we know where we're going and who is waiting for us. At the end of the day, in all of my imperfections, I know that I'm yearning for Christ, and I'm waiting for that day when I will be fully united with Him. Here in America, when I talked about that, people say, oh no, Father, let's not talk about that. But when I go to missionary land, people said, Father, we have worked hard all our lives. We have done our duties and fulfilled our responsibilities. Now we're looking for life, eternal life with God. People, perhaps in lesser countries, know what it means to hope. While we here in America, we're so occupied with what's going on, that we have become a hopeless people. A people that only worrying about what needs to be done instead of the long run, where we will be. And this morning when I had the Bible study with a group of Catholics this morning, we talked about the second reading. And I shared with them the story of my own paternal grandfather. He was a high-ranking officer in the National Vietnamese Police Force. I never knew that because he never talked about it. And then he never shared a lot of his history with me. But I heard from my aunts and my uncles that you know, he did a lot. And he also lost a lot. He lost his brothers, his siblings, to the communists. The communists killed his siblings. I cannot imagine what I would do if I was in his situation. But I remember one thing that my grandfather told me one day, and I still treasure it in my heart. He told me, "Koi, we only know how to live when we have gained much and lost much. When we have gained much and lost much, we know what is truly important." Wow. When we have gained much and have lost much, then we know what is truly important. I'm still trying to figure that out in my own life. I don't like to lose. I don't like to have things out of control. I don't like to not knowing. But my grandfather have taught me that in the trials then, when we gain, when we lose, when we don't have things our way, when we are being tested, that's when we get focused, and refocus and reprioritize what is truly important in life. This understanding of our eternal scope of our own life help us then to discern, do, and speak from the fullness of the heart. Speak the truth in charity. Both the first and the gospel readings today ask us to truly seek and see the truth by seeing the fruit, not just what is there. We're called not to simply judge a person or thing by the book, but to truly take the time to see and understand the fruits that bear from that person or that relationship. In this present age, we have bought into the blind notion that progress is good and it's best to be on the cutting edge. Yet, we have allowed ourselves to be blindly persuaded by sophistry. Let me give you the definition of sophistry according to the dictionary. Sophistry is the use of fallacious arguments, especially with the intention of deceiving someone. So you see, in our day and age with infomercial consumerism and everything, we have all these words, all these things being thrown at us to get our attention. But they're just fallacious or false argumentations with the intention of getting us to buy into something. They aren't the truth. The truth that we have to set everything against is the truth of the love of Christ, the standards of Jesus Christ. We have seen plenty of sophistry in the past and in our very days. We have allowed ourselves to chase after so many trends and many fads. What are appealing, what is progressive, or cutting edge without truly giving enough time to see the results, and especially to see the fruits that bear from the person, the product, or ideology. And I see this too throughout my 11 years of undergraduate and graduate studies, that even in the academia circle, people have written and advocate many things to pontificate their ideologies to show that they are better or that they are avant-garde. If I am better or the avant-garde, and if I get enough people to support my cause, especially what is appealing, influential, or seem to be credible people with a lot of abbreviation after their name, and if we just push our agenda, our ideology enough, it will one day be, quote-unquote, true and integrated by popular opinion and culture. We want to be cutting edge. We want to chase after progress. But we have forgotten, if we just chase after progress, it's like having a tree that grows taller and taller every day, but it has no roots. What happens when a tree has no root? It looks good up front, but when it does not have deep roots, what will happen? When the storm come, when trials come, when hardship come, it's going to fall over. In order for a tree to truly be healthy, not just growing, but also deep roots, we had to recognize our own mistake and to avoid in thinking that we are better than the people in the past. Let us avoid being so occupied in the present moment with stuff that we lose sight of the future and the eternal scope, that we have become lost and become ourselves products of consumeristic trends and ideologies. Why are we more restless as modern people? Because we have become more anxious, angry, resentful, because we have spent so much time chasing after changing things without learning from the perennial wisdom of the past and fixing our eyes on what is eternal, what is truly important. My brothers and sisters, we will lose the war if we don't know who is our enemy, if we don't know who we are, if we don't know the purpose of why we're fighting, where we're going, and where our victory lies. In this spiritual warfare, we will lose our dignity, made in the image and likeness of God, when we allow ourselves to be pulled everywhere and become a product of consumeristic and utilitarian society that objectify everything and everyone, that have no shame in using people, in manipulating them, and doing, quote-unquote, what is necessary to be influential or to get what we want. We're more than that. We're made in the image and likeness of God. If we don't know who we are, where we're going, and who is around us, we will objectify people. We will use people. We will manipulate them. And we will hurt them. Therefore, I leave you with these questions. Questions for you to reflect on. Number one, where is your victory? Where is your victory? Number two, what does it mean to be victorious, fulfilled, or content in this life and the life to come? Third, are we still too occupied with many things now, or are we slowly letting them go as to make room for God in our heart? Last, how are we preparing for eternity, especially our journey home? Where is our victory? What does it mean to be victorious in Christ Jesus? Are we still too occupied, or are we learning to let go slowly? Do we know where we're going? And how are we preparing for the journey home? My brothers and sisters, if we don't know the answer to these questions, we have lost sight of what is important. We need to take the time to reflect on them, knowing that our victory is in Christ Jesus. And as St. Paul have told us, nothing is wasted if we continue to remain firm, steadfast, and fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, none of our labor is in vain.